You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, it's time to test the health of the South African economy. The Saab first quarter bulletin was published ahead of the Easter long weekend, and it's really time to figure out just how strong this economic rebound from last year's 7% plunge in GDP, the largest in the post-war era, is going to be. The IMF has upped its GDP growth forecast for the world and for South Africa this year from 2.8% to 3.1% in South Africa. The Saab recently raised their own growth forecast for the year from 3.6% to 3.8%, while some private sector economists, the likes of Old Mutual, at the most bullish end, think growth might be as much as 5% this year. We still see Northwest University Business School's Policy Uncertainty Index in the first quarter easing off a little. It remains elevated, and it certainly stayed well in negative territory. And as load shedding bites again, the fundamental weakness the economy displayed going into COVID still lurks as a threat to riding any global rebound waves higher. Health Minister Zweli Mkhize announced a pause in the J&J vaccine rollout last night after the US paused its rollout following 6 reported cases of potentially fatal blood clots out of 7 million doses. So statistically, you have greater odds of clotting while flying or taking oral contraceptives. So it's unclear at this stage whether this will have a material impact on a vaccination rollout program that, let's face it, hasn't even really got out of first gear yet. An analysis published in a new World Bank report does show that vaccinating 60% of South Africa's population to induce so-called herd immunity against COVID-19 would have a benefit-cost ratio of more than 29, and that the economic benefits would be amplified by an accelerated vaccine rollout. So given this, that vaccination strategy remains our number one priority. Well, let's welcome our three wise economists. We've got Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib, Mamelo Matakinka, who is a Chief Economist at FNB, and Investec Chief Economist Annabel Bishop. Kevin, set the scene for us here. As we saw some better than expected mining data yesterday, we saw data from Stats SA earlier showing that manufacturing output contracted more than expected in February, and manufacturing has really slumped in orbit one of the last 21 months since February of last of the year prior to that, in fact. So what is the recovery looking like if we look at the primary and the secondary sectors of the economy?
Thanks, Mike. Look, I think that in terms of the primary sectors, I'm expecting to see the numbers get steadily better. As you said, the mining industry, I think, is in a good space. Obviously, a lot of that relates to the commodity price cycle. It relates to the current pickup in global trade. And there's been a phenomenal acceleration in global trade since the middle of last year. In fact, global trade is at an all-time record high, and I think we are benefiting to some extent from that. So I'm expecting mining to have a good year. The agricultural sector is also having a good year. It's a small sector in South Africa, but last year was a compelling outcome. And I think this year, so far, it appears to be set for good crops. Certainly the summer crops look good. So I'm encouraged by those two sectors. As you said, manufacturing still under pressure. And I guess a lot of that, or part of that, relates to the load shedding. It's very difficult to gain momentum in manufacturing when you have got the load shedding. And then obviously that itself feeds into consumer activity to some extent. So to me, we can get growth rates above 4%. I think that's entirely feasible this year. I actually think the IMF is being quite conservative with their current estimate. But in order to get those growth rates up to that level, we clearly have to make a lot of progress in the vaccine distribution, certainly way better progress than we're making now. And also we need to ensure that we don't have significant bouts of load shedding, water outages. All of those things are still around. That to me is fairly critical. And then hopefully we don't have a big third wave. We're watching the data carefully now. We're in kind of the danger zone in terms of coming back from the Easter holidays. So we could get fortunate, improve our vaccine rollout, load shedding contained, we don't have a third wave, and then I think we potentially got growth rates up at over 4%, possibly approaching that 5%, and therefore a good bout of recovery, if you like. but it's critical around the vaccine rollout.
And no more own goals when it comes to load shedding, when it comes to policy missteps and certainly the vaccine rollout. So the J&J news last night is something of a worry, but at this stage it does look to be fairly temporary. Mamela, how are you reading things as an introductory broad overview of the South African economy right now?
Hi, Michael, and to the participants on the panel. I agree with the points made by Kevin in terms of the risks that could potentially derail the recovery. So we're looking at a growth rebound of around 3.7% for this year, and in full agreement that we could be surprised to the upside, that a 4% handle is probable, provided that we don't get any more electricity shortages, as Kevin highlighted, and the vaccine rollout, which we know by now is going to be delayed based on what the minister has said, that the second rollout of the vaccine is only expected towards the end of this year, suggesting that most of us will probably only get vaccinated next year. So a third wave is certainly I think a significant risk to the growth outlook. And we could potentially, if government does speed up some of these reforms that they've been talking about. So, for instance, if we look at what the president announced to the SONA, he spoke quite a bit about this infrastructure drive. There's a lot of talk around solving some of the issues that we're seeing in the energy space. Of course, there's pushback around, the 10 megawatts of self-generation that's allowed, and, the number of commentators that believe that could be increased to around 50 megawatts, meaning that, this electricity bind that we've been faced with could potentially be solved over the next 5 years. So there's a number of things that I think are low-hanging fruits that could potentially unlock economic growth. Those won't come through this year, but I think if there are concerted efforts and business and greater and general society sees that government is really serious around structural reform, whether it's spending more on infrastructure, spectrum, and electricity, that could lift business confidence, and then in the years that follow, we could potentially see economic growth start to lift. So we're looking at around 3.7%. GDP growth this year, but in level terms, it's going to take quite a bit of time for South Africa to get back to where we were before the pandemic. So the way I look at the 3.7% really is that's a base effect, right? Because if you look at the drivers of economic growth from the consumption side, we highlighted the QB at the beginning of this conversation. Consumers are under a significant amount of pressure. We've seen that unemployment remains excessively high. Consumers have had to, take some sort of pay reduction over the past year. And in the absence of, increased economic activity that is notable, it's hard to see how we see a notable recovery in consumer spending. Infrastructure spending, or gross fixed capital formation, if you want to call it that, will rebound because the base was really low last year. But we still expect that component, anyway, as FNB, to not contribute significantly to GDP growth. Where we could be surprised, as highlighted, is on the trade side, because the global economy is improving. Kevin spoke about the primary and secondary sectors of the economy that could potentially aid economic growth. So, yes, just an opening. We're expecting around 3.7% this year and a slowdown next year.
And still some years before we recover that 7% decline that we saw last year and get back to pre-pandemic levels. Annabel, writing in his weekly letter, the president remarked that too often we get caught up in our immediate challenges and we fail to see and realize the potential in the South African economy. What do you make of that statement? Because all I've been hearing from business is we need to deal with our immediate challenges, otherwise that potential will remain just that.
Absolutely. I think perhaps the president's saying, we do spend a lot of time highlighting the problems that business is facing. I think that's quite important, because without highlighting those, you don't see the progress in the reform. As we've learned over the past decade, we've actually seen a substantial deterioration. But I think perhaps he's also saying to South Africans, talk up some of the positives in the economy. And I suppose that becomes quite pertinent when you're looking for investment, whether it's foreign or domestic. Look, I think, you know, it's quite important to note that we obviously are seeing a global recovery, a good, strong global recovery, and that's quite key. You know, the United States, in fact, expected to perform better. And, you know, that's really, of course, driving optimism in financial markets at the moment. It's driving substantial optimism in the rand. Let's be aware that these are quite fickle and that obviously you can see substantial reversals. But, of course, if we have a look at the South African economy, we're talking about, you know, really moving into a period in South Africa and globally where we're going to start hitting that severe April effect from 2020. You know, in April, last year, we obviously had the crisis hit us, and of course, that's one of the key reasons why the rand is looking so good on an annual appreciation basis. So, too, for a lot of other economic statistics and indicators as well. And really, you know, running through the April to December period, even the first quarter of next year, we're going to have these effects pushing up inflation quite substantially, inflation moving to about 4%, we believe, in the April, you know, that's up from about 3% in March. Interestingly, if we have a look at our interest rates, you know, interest repo rate at 3.5%, and the inflation rate, of course, 2.9% in February, as I said, likely 3% in March. If you then, of course, move to a 4% in April, and you don't see a 1% hike in interest rates concomitantly, which none of us expect, we would obviously be at risk of currency weakness. You know, moving into negative real interest rate territory has obviously predicated that. But I think, you know, that the reality for global economies is that we're in a strong risk-on environment at the moment. That obviously has made us feel all more optimistic as well. Mm. We need to still bear in mind there's a lot of structural issues that obviously are impediments to the South African economy, which then, when we do tend to move into more neutral level of market sentiment, you know, those come to bear. But of course, we also have a situation where we're moving into the credit rating period in May, and that, of course, is quite important for us because we're still on negative outlooks from Moody's and from Fitch. Fitch on the last rung of the double B category, likely to drop us into the single B category because we are on a negative outlook. And a negative outlook means your next move will be a downgrade. It doesn't mean your next move is going to be at the next meeting. It might not be at May. They might move towards the end of the year. So there are still some negatives. So we can't, you know, obviously imagine, you know, it's a cheery outlook. But I do think, you know, some balance is required. For me, I'm quite optimistic about the longer-term recovery of the economy. So, you know, excluding this severe base effect one of our colleagues mentioned earlier in the discussion, for the GDP rebound that's, you know, obviously going to drive that lift in economic activity towards the, 3-4% mark, probably closer to the 4% mark, perhaps this year if we're lucky on the load shedding front, the vaccine front, the lockdown front, you know, returning to 2022, which is perhaps more telling as an economic year, we'll find ourselves in a situation where economic growth might drop back down to 1.5%, and sadly that's probably the potential economic growth rate of the South African economy, given these structural issues, given the impediments of load shedding. And yes, it's very nice to hear the plans, but I would really highlight, you know, of course, these plans for change and reform come through in Operation Vulindlela. I would really highlight that so far, the progress in Operation Vulindlela has not really been operational as such. It's rather been committee forming. It's rather been creating funding. We actually haven't seen the progress. And I think perhaps a caveat here. You know, over the past couple of years, and if you look at perhaps RP 219, yes, there have been many reasons given, but from an investor confidence perspective, why is the RP 219 not implemented in 2020? Again, we know the reasons. But, you know, the reality is that if we do actually want to reap longer-term structural benefits, and as I've said, I'm positive we will see a structural economic growth rate of 3% in 5 years' time if we achieve the plans and Operation Vulindlela. If we want to obviously see that, we need to start implementing actual progress and less talk, less plans, and less layering of committees. And of course, Operation Vulindlela is just that, it's layering upon layering of committees. And to actually reap strong economic growth that I think another one of our colleagues is talking about, we need to obviously see these anticipated reforms actually implemented. And of course,
execution.
We know the political issues, and of course, we know, of course, that what the issues are themselves. But I would just really say that perhaps we do need to focus on it a huge amount, and yes, provide some balance, but it's still a big stumbling block for business.
Kevin Lings, the centerpiece of the president's economic recovery program and package really is infrastructure, and we do now see REAP bid window 5. We see the emergency power procurement program getting underway, although lots of controversy around the awarding of the bulk of that to Turkish Powership, so a potential legal challenge down the road there. But surely this is now going to start feeding into some kind of aggregate demand. From where you're sitting, are you seeing this boosting gross fixed capital formation just yet, or is it still all talking and planning and not enough execution?
Mike, I would say that it's making progress, but it's tentative. We're not seeing it as the level of urgency that is really required. And obviously, the President's office spoke about this towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year as kind of the panacea for a lift in South Africa's growth. And I would agree with that. I think infrastructure rollout, if we can get some of these projects going, would make a significant difference on various levels. And I've got also no doubt that the private sector is certainly very keen to get involved in any private-public partnerships. And our engagements with various pension funds, with investors who are looking at this particular aspect, there's capital around, there's a lot of eagerness around. The difficulty is we're just not making progress with the implementation of these projects. We know more or less what sort of areas they need to be in. We know that government wants to get them going. We know that energy is part of it. It's not the only area. There's quite a few projects around road development, housing development, water development. All of those would help enormously. But it's just not getting to that critical mass. And I would argue that if we can get some of that going, then we start to lift, as Annabelle said, the potential growth rate and the average growth rate for the next couple of years. So I think it's that critical. We remain fairly positive. We've got a particular infrastructure fund. We've had quite a few billion rand flowing into that fund, and we've been able to place those projects. In other words, we've got projects that we ourselves have initiated in the infrastructure space. So I'm not suggesting there's nothing happened. I'm actually suggesting that it's slowly moving in the right direction, but it needs a lot more, and it needs to gain the imagination of the public, the way we did during the Soccer World Cup, so that we start to see cranes, we see activity. That would lift confidence more broadly.
And just yesterday, there was a very encouraging webinar hosted by Chris Yelland, I think, of EE Publishers. We had Trade and Industry Minister Ibrahim Patel give the keynote around the green hydrogen economy. Sasol looking to play a leading role there. We had Liquid and many others. So they once again, is all this talk about creating a hydrogen valley, but we are not seeing the cranes just yet. Mamelo, just to shift over to the consumer side of the economy at the moment, and the big concern obviously is as government looks to put a cap on public sector wages and perhaps a freeze on hiring in certain posts and positions, that which has been driving the consumption in this economy, which has been largely on the back of the public sector, might slow. And so we'd need to see that pick up from the private sector. And it looks like from the tax numbers, we are seeing a decimation of particularly the middle class, who are either immigrating or have taken significant pain during the COVID period. How are you reading the health of the South African consumer right now?
So we're looking at a rebound of around 2.5% for this year. So the contraction, just to maybe provide a bit of context, last year was negative 5.4, which is almost double what we saw in the 2009 crisis. So we're looking at a recovery of around 2.5%, and we're expecting employment growth of around 0.2, which is quite low. And over time, we're actually expecting a moderation in consumption expenditure back to around 1%. So, right, so implicit in that assumption would be that we don't see some of the structural reform and we don't actually see a significant lift in employment growth. So when we looked at the, or our forecast anyway, for unemployment for last year was around 1 million job losses. And for the year, this year, we're expecting around 1 in 5 jobs to be regained this year. And for that recovery to take quite a bit of time, essentially meaning that, you know, consumers are going to feel the pinch for quite some time. Last year, we saw that, you know, the Reserve Bank provided quite a bit of support to households, obviously those that have access to credit. We saw that the reduction in the interest rates, for instance, boosted the property market. So if you look at, you know, applications for homes and how many, you know, home loans we extended as FNB last year, we saw that that did provide some level of support. But I think, you know, what is critical here in terms of the consumer going forward is really making sure that this recovery plan, at the center of it is employment growth and employment creation. And I think also supporting small, medium enterprises, the small businesses. You know, granted, you know, the government, you know, had that, you know, loan guarantee scheme last year, but we saw that the uptake there was quite weak. And we're seeing, when one looks at the insolvency and liquidation numbers, that the second round effects of this pandemic are starting to come through, especially if we look at professional services, so IT, lawyers, and so on. You know, initially when the crisis hit, it was more your output-sensitive sectors that felt the pinch immediately. So retail, tourism is still, you know, struggling. But now we're starting to see that your professionals or professional skills, individuals that belong in that specific sector, are also starting to feel, you know, feel the pressure. So this is not going to bode well for household consumption expenditure going forward. The point really here is that at the center of any recovery plan has to be employment creation. That's how we get activity and households going again.
And it is why the President has focused on the presidential employment stimulus. Many, though, still believe that the government is placing itself too centrally with any recovery plan and needs to step back and allow the private sector to do what it does best and not try and lead from the centre. It is an ideological penchant of the ANC-led administration, though. Annabel, if you look at the fiscal side of the equation, and the numbers here from the Saab Quarterly Bulletin make for quite telling reading ahead of that credit rating review in May, our debt, gross loan debt, increased as a percentage of GDP from 62.2% to 77.1% in 1 year alone. And that is a massive jump. And it's that trajectory of debt that the finance minister is trying to rein in. He's trying to rein it in by using the lever of the public sector wage bill. There's still a lot of uncertainty around that. What do you think the ratings agencies are going to be focusing on come May?
You know, I think the rating agencies, we're not overwhelmed by our budget. I think that they, you know, there was some improvement from the MTBPS last year's projections in terms of debt. And of course, you've hit the nail on the head, Michael, because debt is what is actually key to the rating agencies. You know, they assess our credit worthiness, our likelihood to repay our debt, and as a consequence, your quantum of debt and your planned future quantum of debt are absolutely key in that regard, as too are your earnings or your economic activity. And of course, you know, we find ourselves in a situation where our economic activity is still quite muted. If you take away these distorting base effects, because obviously entering the period of the very substantial lockdowns of last year, now when we move into economic activity in April this year moving forward, you would actually find your economic activity well below those of 2019 readings, as we all know. So, you know, the reality of the situation is that we're not seeing as strong a rebound as some other economies perhaps are anticipating, but more worryingly is if you actually take this debt trajectory into account, you move, you know, towards the 90% mark. Of course, if you take into account the guarantees extended by government to state-owned entities' debt, you actually find yourself moving towards the 100% mark. And that is not equivalent to South Africa's credit rating peers that the agency worries about if you look at them on a broad spectrum, you know, across the other metrics as well that they assess us on, the constant deterioration. On the other hand, we have seen a deterioration globally in debt levels. And, you know, if you have a look at the emerging market economies, the middle income economies, that tends to see this rise closer to 63%. As you know, we're closer to 80%. So again, out of kilter with our peers. And of course, that's something that credit rating agencies do take into cognizance. And you know, what do credit rating downgrades mean for South Africa? Well, certainly, you know, dropping from the double B category into the single B category from Fitch, we don't think S&P will be far behind. And of course, Moody's then likely to drop us to the last rung of the double B category. It's very hard when you've been on a strong downward trend in credit ratings, as we have increasingly at an accelerated pace, in other words, over the past decade, to suddenly turn that around. You know, we haven't seen, as the rating agencies themselves say, fruit or delivery coming from the plans, they still, by and large, remain plans.
Yep.
Increasingly talked up plans and widely broadcast plans, but nevertheless. So that doesn't instill confidence in the agencies. And perhaps government should take cognizance of that, that they're not fooled by that. We need to obviously see growth that is anticipated to be strong enough both to lift revenues, to, you know, service our debt sufficiently and actually reduce our debt, because we actually need debt buybacks.
And that is the bottom line. That is the bottom line. Annabel, we've got to leave it there, I'm afraid. We have run out of time. Thank you very much. And with the credit ratings downgrade, the concomitant increase in cost of capital, which is an even higher hurdle rate for private sector investment, which then just depresses investment, which becomes a self-perpetuating downward spiral. That certainly needs to be the number one issue. If I was in Treasury, if I was sitting inside the presidency, how do we arrest that decline and turn that around? Annabel Bishop, Chief Economist at Investec, thank you very much. Who's joined by Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib, and Mamelo Mutakinkha, Chief Economist at FNB, giving us the temperature of the South African economy. We're still getting through the door, but at this rate, we won't be allowed into the global economic recovery party. We'll look a little too sick.